Hello everyone, welcome back to Is Pharmacology Difficult podcast, and today we are going to start with the last topic that we had left, that is about the parasympathomimetic or cholinergic drugs. So I told you there are two types, directly acting and indirectly acting. So let's get to know about the directly acting drugs, only the main highlighted point, not the details too much. Now, they are esters of choline and they are natural alkaloids like acetylcholine, muscarine, nicotine, pilocarpine, ericholine are natural alkaloids. Synthetic derivatives include methacholine, carbachol and bethanecol. Now, what are the important points about these drugs? That all you I'm going to tell you. Acetylcholine is not used clinically. It is a very short-acting drug. It is quickly metabolized by choline esterases in the plasma. And even if you give by parenteral, that is intravenous route, it is not very, very effective. Second, I'm going to talk about methacholine. Methacholine has maximum action on the heart muscle tissue. And it is the route of administration of methacholine is inhalational. That is for the diagnosis of bronchial hyperreactivity, especially in the patients who are not showing asthma diagnosis clearly. And they can take up the methacholine challenge test. Okay, that is all about methacholine. Let's talk about pilocarpine. Its basic use is in glaucoma. And how why it is used? Because it is causing of meiotic action. That is the constriction of the pupil. And it is also very short-acting drug. So intraocular tension can rise even if you miss few doses of pilocarpine. Okay. Now, next I'm going to talk about the drug acting on the bladder, and the name of the drug is bethanecol. And bethanecol, one another important point, it does not have any nicotinic action. Next I'm going to talk about another drug which is acting commonly on both nicotinic and muscarinic receptors. The drug is carbachol. Then I'm going to talk about two drugs, pilocarpine and sevimeline, C-E-V-I. M-E-L-I-N-E, sevimeline, both pilocarpine and sevimeline, they are used to treat the dry mouth, which is generally found in the disease of Sjögren's syndrome. The Sjögren's syndrome, the spelling, the S is silent. And how this Sjögren's syndrome is caused? It is due to the radiation damage of the glands, salivary glands. That is how it is caused. So these are the main highlighted points about the directly acting drugs. Let's get on to the indirectly acting drugs. The main mechanism of action of indirectly acting drug is to inhibit acetylcholine esterase. So they are also known as acetylcholine esterase inhibitors. And that is how, by inhibiting the acetylcholine esterase, they increase the amount and the availability of the acetylcholine at the site of action and also increases the duration of action of acetylcholine. And in short, they are known as anticholinesterases, and they can be of two types. I told you, reversible, irreversible. First, let's talk about the reversible agents. Physostigmine, neostigmine, pyridostigmine, edrofonium, galantamine, tacrine, donepezil, rivastigmine. These are the important drugs in this group. They are reversibly inhibiting the acetylcholine esterase. And let's talk about their important features as far as the individual drugs are concerned. Physostigmine is a tertiary amine. It is lipid soluble. It is derived naturally. And lipid soluble drugs, other ones are tacrine, donepezil, rivastigmine, galantamine. Other drugs, they are quaternary compounds. They are lipid insoluble. Now, physostigmine has a very high lipid solubility. It can be given orally. It also crosses blood-brain barrier. It can also cross the cornea. While on the other hand, the lipid insoluble drugs, they are not effective orally and they cannot enter the blood-brain barrier or the cornea of the eye. Now, lipid insoluble or water soluble drugs, they are neostigmine, pyridostigmine and edrofonium. Three drugs are there in this group. Then uses, physostigmine can also found use in glaucoma because of the meiotic action. It is a drug of choice and specific antidote in the atropa poisoning, that is in the atropa balladonna poisoning, that is also known as atropine poisoning. Next, talk about neostigmine. It is a drug of choice for myasthenia gravis, and it cannot cross the blood-brain barrier. It has a direct action on the neuromuscular receptor, and it has an agonistic action there. It is also a drug, very good drug of choice for cobra bite and atonia of urinary bladder to reverse the skeletal muscle relaxant, especially the competitive skeletal muscle relaxant reversal. It's a good drug. And it's also a good choice of drug in post-operative paralytic ileus. So that's the qualities of neostigmine. Coming over to paradostigmine, is very long-acting drug. It can be used as an alternative to neostigmine. And another one good point you need to know, that while treating with neostigmine, we can add atropine. While when the action is specially required on the neuromuscular junction, that is NM receptors, why we need to add atropine? To avoid the adverse effects due to the muscarinic receptor stimulation. And that can be used along with the treatment in myasthenia gravis and cobra bite. So, muscarinic uses of neostigmine or paradostigmine as an alternative, they are post-operative paralytic ileus and post-operative urinary retention. And that is generally muscarinic uses, they are done without atropine. Now, nicotinic uses that are done along with the addition of atropine, they are for cobra bite, myasthenia gravis, and to reverse the competitive skeletal muscle relaxants. Let's talk about edrofonium. What is edrofonium? It's a very short-acting drug. It's a synthetic drug. It is used in the diagnosis of myasthenia gravis. How it is used? A little amount, 1 to 2 milligram, is given parenterally. And when you give such amount, it improves the skeletal muscle activity. And that is only in the case of myasthenia gravis. If the person is not suffering from myasthenia gravis, it will worsen the condition. And that is due to cholinergic crisis. So that is how we judge whether a person is having myasthenia gravis or not. This particular diagnostic test, it is known as tensilon test. Let's talk about rivastigmine. Rivastigmine has been approved for the treatment of dementia and Alzheimer's as well as Parkinson's disease. Tang is a very good drug of choice for Alzheimer's disease, but it has some limitations. It is showing hepatotoxicity. It is also having adverse effect of diarrhea, and we need to administer it quite frequently. So we rather avoid it. We use other drugs, important, nice, better drugs like donepezil, galantamine, rivastigmine. Okay? So that is all about the reversible anticholinesterases. Let's jump over to irreversible anticholinesterases. In the irreversible group, we have drugs like organophosphates and carbamates. Organophosphates are malathion, eicothiophate, parathion, chlorpyrifos, and some important nerve gases like tabun, sarin, and soman. One more drug you can know and note down, that is difflos. Carbamates, there are two drugs, propoxer and carbaryl. So, what about the use of these drugs? Only eicothiophate is used clinically, rest are not used, and the use of eicothiophate is also done in glaucoma. So other drugs, where they find use, they are used as insecticides, and they can cause some poisoning also. Now, what are the signs and symptoms of anticholinesterase poisoning? Only they are cholinergic signs and symptoms, pinpoint pupils, salivation, lacrimation, bronchoconstriction, diarrhea, sweating, hypertension, bradycardia, excessive urination, and ultimately the person can go into coma. Blood pressure increases, heart rate increases, sometimes rarely, and that is due to the stimulation of the nicotinic receptor, especially in high cases of poisoning. Generally, the blood pressure and the heart rate decreases, but may increase due to nicotinic stimulation. What you want to use as an antidote? Definitely, you all know it, atropine. It is a drug of choice for this organophosphate poisoning also and carbamate poisoning also. We have some other alternative drugs and better drugs and some add-on drugs. New nowadays, we have oximes. Oximes, and what are these drugs? Pralidoxime, obidoxime, diacetyl monooxime. They can also regenerate acetylcholinesterase in organophosphate poisoning, but they are not very useful in the carbamate poisoning. So this is a good point you need to remember. They are useful only in organophosphate poisoning. Now, what is the target or the goal of treating with auxines? That is to curb the muscle weakness and the respiratory depression. So why they are not useful in carbamate poisoning? Because the site which they are binding on is not available in carbamate poisoning. And secondly, they themselves have some weak acetylcholinesterase inhibitory action. So they are avoided in carbamate poisoning. Another good important point about diacetyl monoxime is that it can cross the blood-brain barrier and it can be useful in CNS also to regenerate acetylcholinesterase, while other drugs like pralidoxime and obidoxime, they are unable to enter the CNS. Now, if there is a lot of exposure or long-term exposure to organophosphates, then there may be some problems. Especially, one of the examples of organophosphates is triorthocrysyl phosphate. Then there may be some problems, signs and symptoms like intermediate syndrome. It can be caused by cholinesterase inhibition. Then delayed neuropathy. It can be associated with demyelination of axons. And these are all the problems with the long-term uses or exposure to organophosphates. Now, I'm going to talk about the anticholinergic drugs. Now, anticholinergic drugs, they block the cholinergic drugs at the muscarinic receptors or the nicotinic receptors. So, they can be called as anti-muscarinic agents also. If they block the NM receptors at the neuromuscular junction, then they are known as neuromuscular blocking agents. And if they block the NN receptors at the ganglia, they are known as ganglionic blockers. So how will you classify them? The anti-muscarinic drugs or the anticholinergic drugs, when they affect the different receptors, accordingly they are classified. Receptor selective are known as M1 blockers or M2 blockers or M3 blockers. Example of M1 blocker is perenzapine and telenzapine. M2 blocker is tripetramine. M3 blocker is deriphenazine. The non-selective antagonists, they are atropine and hyoscine. Definitely we know about them. And other blockers, they are which decrease the choline uptake, that is hemicholinium, which decreases the vesicular uptake of acetylcholine is vesamicol, and which decreases the release of acetylcholine into the synapse by inhibiting the calcium-mediated exocytosis, that is botulinum toxin. Okay? So these are the classification of anticholinergic drugs. Atropine is naturally obtained from Atropa belladonna. Scopolamine or hyoscine is also obtained from plant, and they are natural alkaloids. They are non-selective antagonists at all the muscarinic receptors. Now, what are the actions? In the central nervous system, atropine is a stimulant, scopolamine is a CNS depressant, and scopolamine or hyoscine is causing a particular phenomena known as twilight sleep that is related to amnesia and depression of the CNS. And it can be used therapeutically as a lie detector or truth serum in some of the patients. Then scopolamine is also useful in transdermal patches. It is applied behind the ear pinna and it can prevent the motion sickness. Then central anticholinergic drugs. They are trihexyphenidyl, benzhexol. Another drugs, they are benztropine, bipyridine. They are very useful for the treatment of drug-induced Parkinsonism. Then in the eye, what is the use of these agents? They can cause mydriasis and cycloplegia. A little details I'm going to give you. Atropine, hometropine, cyclopentolate and tropicamide. These are the congeners of atropine. They can cause mydriasis, cycloplegia. So what is the use? Midriasis is used for the fundus examination, and cycloplegia can also help in the proper and the correct assessment of the refractive error. Now, cycloplegia can also help to relieve the pain which is caused in iridocyclitis. What is iridocyclitis? That is the spasm of the ciliary muscles. So that can be relieved by cycloplegia action. Now, atropine is a long-acting drug, and hyoscine is also having some cycloplegic action, and its duration of action is also long but little less than atropine. Shortest acting midriatic drug is tropicamide, and these drugs all anticholinergic agents. They are totally contraindicated in the condition of glaucoma. In the CVS, generally, what are these drugs doing? They are causing decrease in the heart rate, that is bradycardia, initially, because the M2 receptors, they are inhibited. But the postsynaptic M2 receptors, when they are inhibited, then tachycardia can occur later on. Atropine is used therapeutically in arrhythmia treatment, like AV block, and also in the used in the treatment of digitalis-induced bradycardia. And it has a very low effect on the blood pressure and cardiac contractility. Then we come to the uses in respiratory system. Now, they can in the respiratory system, they can actually relieve the bronchoconstriction, and that is caused by the M3 receptors. The drugs are ipratropium bromide and tiotropium bromide. They are useful receptor, muscarinic receptor antagonists, and they can be used in the treatment of COPD and bronchial asthma. Now, the non-selective action is of ipratropium, and tiotropium has little selective action on M1 and M3 receptors. One of the anticholinergic drugs, that is glycopyrrolate, is very useful as pre-anesthetic medication. And how does it help? It decreases the secretion and also helps to relieve the reflex bronchospasm. What is the action of anticholinergic agents in the GIT? They decrease the motility, tone, and secretions in the GIT. The drugs are perenzapine, telenzapine. They are selective M1 blockers, which are very usefully used in the peptic ulcer disease. Other drugs are hyoscine, dicyclomine, oxyphenonium, propanthiolene, clidinium. They are very useful to treat the intestinal colic. They are acting as antispasmodic drugs. Then we have selective M3 blockers like terephenazine, solifenazine. They are very useful in overactive bladder and also in irritable bowel syndrome. Then we have drugs for the urinary tract problems. The anticholinergic drugs, they decrease the motility of the urinary tract, and they can cause urinary retention. So the drugs are dicyclomine, flavoxate, oxybutynin. They are useful in the treatment of urinary incontinence and also in the useful in the treatment of renal colic. Then we have tolterodine, fesoterodine, then terephenazine, solifenazine. They are also useful in the treatment of urinary incontinence. Now, some of the side effects. Oxybutynin can cause dry mouth. Then tolterodine, solifenazine, terephenazine, they are very M3 vasoselective antagonist. They are not very useful on M1 muscarinic receptors. And they can also be used in the elderly patients and also in patients who are having a problem of cognitive impairment. The shortest acting is oxybutynin. Longest acting is solifenazine. Trospium is only one of the drugs which is not metabolized in liver. Then trospium, it also has very less penetration into the CNS. It is a quaternary amine structure. So there is no impairment of cognition with trospium. Then two more drugs, mirabegron, vibegron. They are newer drugs which are useful for overactive bladder. Then these are the main points as far as the urinary tract is concerned. As far as the glands are concerned, anticholinergic drugs decrease the secretions. They can cause dry mouth, reduce salivation, lacrimation, sweating. And for the same reason, atropine is not is totally contraindicated in children because it can cause hyperthermia. Then atropine is very useful in early mushroom poisoning, which is caused by the ionocyte species, but it is not useful in Amanita muscaria poisoning. For the late mushroom poisoning due to Amanita phylloides, the drug of choice is thiotic acid. Then botulinum toxin type A is very good for the treatment of strabismus, blepharospasm, cervical dystonia, glabellar lines. The botulinum toxin type B is used for cervical dystonia. Then there are botulinum toxin type A is recently very useful found for headaches in patients with chronic migraine. Atropine is also the drug of choice for organophosphate carbamate poisoning. I've told you it is used along with neostigmine for the treatment of cobra bite and Myasthenia gravis. And it can be added to diphenoxylate, that is an anti-motility drug, and then it can reduce the addictive potential of diphenoxylate. Adverse effects of atropine are dry mouth, blurred vision, urinary retention, constipation, confusion, hyperthermia, restlessness, etc. The total contraindication of anticholinergic drugs is in glaucoma and BHP. So that is a full account of up to anticholinergic drugs. Sympathetic system, we're going to start in the next episode.